Well, good morning. Good morning. Welcome to church this morning. It's good to see you. And the question is, do we believe what we've just sung? Two songs. One of them very lively, one of them more thoughtful, but singing about the same truths. Do we believe what we've just sung? Well, 500 years ago, things were very different. I think I've got John on the slide there. There we are. 500 years ago in Cheam, there wasn't much more than this around. Do you recognise this? Whitehall. It's hidden at the moment, isn't it? It's got big bits of wood hiding it because they're doing some work on it. But just across the road, Whitehall. This, they think, was built 500 years ago. So what we're talking about was going on when they were building this building 500 years ago. What were things like back there? Well, the church was very different. If you went to church, you might have had to have listened to things like this. I think on the next slide. Now, who can read that for us? Anyone good at reading? What's that say? Hands up if you can read it. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, don't be shy, eight. Eight people. Can you read it? No. I can't read it. Don't know what it says. Might say something really important, mightn't it? But it's not written in a language that I can understand or read. And 500 years ago, if you went to church, that's what the Bible was written in. The Bible was written in this language. So if you didn't know this language, well, church was going to be tough, wasn't it? Now, I think I've put up what this does say. Who can read that? Hands up if you can read that. Wow, look at that. Even if you can't read, look around you. Wow. That's loads of people. Loads of people can read that. Who'd like to read it for us? Someone read it out nice and loud. Simple, isn't it? Now, it's talking about something quite complicated. We'd need help to understand what it was saying, but we can read it. 500 years ago, you couldn't have heard that in church. It would have been said in Latin. You wouldn't have had a Bible. There might have been one Bible, but it was in church, and it was written in Latin. So how could you know what the Bible really said and what the Bible told you? Well, there were lots of other things going on at that time as well. But the big, big thing was this. This question. It's a question we ask of each other all the time. Are you okay? Now, we say that to each other all the time, don't we? It's one of those phrases that we use. We might say, hello, are you all right? Might say, hi, are you okay? Might shorten it to, okay. How do you answer that question? Normally, yes. Because, you know, to tell the truth or to go into the detail would take quite a long time. So normally we don't really answer that question. Are you all right? Are you okay? Yeah, I'm okay. You okay? Yeah, I'm okay. Now, we could ask that question a different way, couldn't we? We could ask, am I okay? Can you just say that to the person next to you. Am I okay? Wow. awkward. How do you answer that? What do you say? It's hard enough if someone asks you, but if you've got to say if you're okay, but if you've got to say if someone else is okay, what do you tell them the truth? Are they okay? Now, sometimes we ask that question of people, and it really matters, doesn't it? We might go and see a doctor. Am I okay? And it really matters if the doctor says to us, you're okay. You're okay. Sometimes we might have to go before a judge. And it's up to the judge to decide if you're okay. Are you okay? There might be some evidence, some witnesses. And the hope that the judge might say at the end, you're okay. Sometimes it might be that we're at school or sitting an exam and we're waiting for the teacher to say if we're okay. We have to answer some questions and wait for it to be marked. Are we okay? That can make us worry. Sometimes it's our boss at work and we have a review and are we okay? And what about God? We were to ask God that question, am I okay? What would God say? What would he say? Or what would we say to God? If we were to try and tell him, if we thought we were okay, what would we say? Well, I've been good. Let's talk about me. I've been quite a good person this week. I've been quite nice to people around me. I've got on with my work, which I'm supposed to do and paid for. I've tried to think of other people.
I'm really sorry. I found this on your car earlier.
Oh.
Sorry.
Does anyone know what this is? Do you know what this is? I haven't seen one of these before. Do you know what this is? It says on the front, it's a penalty charge notice. Is it to do with football? Oh, there's something inside it. It's like an envelope. Oh. Vehicle registration number. Oh, that's my car. Was seen in Manor Road. Well, that's where I live. Date of contravention. What's that mean? No one knows. Civil Enforcement Officer, number SU440, has reasonable cause to believe that the following contravention of parking regulations has taken place and that a penalty charge is now payable. Contravention code 01, parked in a restricted street during the prescribed hours. The penalty charge of £110 is now payable. Has anyone got £110? I've got to pay £110. Oh, hang on. The penalty charge will be reduced by a discount of 50% to £55. That's exciting, isn't it? Has anyone got £55? Oh dear, that was me this week. I parked on a yellow line. I broke rule number one. That's what it says, isn't it? You have contravened code number one of the regulations of parking. I broke the law this week. I didn't mean to, really. I'd forgotten about the yellow line. But we do things wrong, don't we? Sometimes we don't mean to and we just do them wrong. Sometimes we do things wrong on purpose. And actually, if I think about my week, I've done other things that are wrong this week. I've got angry a few times. I could go into a whole load of confession, but perhaps that's not sensible. We do things wrong. Now, this is the big thing. Who knows what this word means? A big word, isn't it? Can anyone say that word? Justification. Can you say it to the person next to you? Justification. Justification. Now, say to the person next to you what that word means. Justification. Now, this is quite a hard word to understand. It's a long word, justification, but it's a word that we get from the law court, from the judge. The judge might justify you by saying you're not guilty, you're righteous, you can go free. Justification. Sometimes people say a definition is that we can say it's just as if I'd never sinned. Justification. But it's a bit more than that. It's not just that we've not sinned and we're neutral. We're in credit. We're seen as righteous, good before God. Good before God. Are you okay? God, am I okay? Will he justify us? Well, 500 years ago, Bible in Latin, the church taught people that you needed to believe in God and you needed to do things. You needed to sort of work and be good enough for God. And there were certain things you needed to do. Now, just to help us with this, I need two volunteers. You need to be able to write. Is anyone here able to write? You're all lying. Who's able to write? Can somebody write? Don't be shy. James, can you write? Well done. Come on then. Come on then. James, if you come and just kneel in front of this chair. Thank you. Luke, can you come and just kneel in front of this chair. There we go. I'll give you the pencil. Now, what I'd like you to do, you can just stay there. James, what I'd like you to do is I'm going to give you 1 minute to write down all the good things you've done this week. And then 1 minute on the other bit of paper to write down all the things you're sorry for from this week. Okay? Now, I want all of you to talk about the same thing. So I'm going to tell you when the minute changes, but I want you to share with each other some good things you've done this week. What have you done that's been good this week? Good things. But then, I want you to share with each other just one or two things, maybe there's a long list, but maybe some things you've done that haven't been good this week that you're sorry for. Okay? So you've got 1 minute on each. Time starts now. Okay, time's up, time's up. Well, no one got up and walked out at that point, that's good. Now, is there a Bible near you? There should be. Just turn with me to Romans chapter 4. It's on page 1131. In the church Bibles, Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And the big question is, with this passage, with these verses, how are we right with God? How is God going to say to us, you're okay? And Paul in Romans chapter 4 is trying to help us understand, how does God, or how is God able to say to us, you're okay? Look at what he says, Romans chapter 4, verse 1. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, discovered in this matter? If, in fact, Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, big words, and Abraham's quite a big word, but Paul is describing some big things here. Abraham, famous Old Testament, the father of Israel. How was he made right before God? How was God able to say to him, you're okay? Was it because Abraham was a good man, did good things, behaved himself? If it was, Abraham would be able to pat himself on the back, wouldn't he, and say, well done me. God said, I'm okay. I did it. Aren't I good? Well, verse 3, what does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. What did Abraham do? He believed God. Now, he goes on, verse 4, so the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. Who's ever been paid by someone for doing some work? Ever been paid for doing some work? Okay. Who's ever written a thank you note to the person who paid them for doing the work? Thank you for paying me. Every month. Thank you for paying me. Well, some of you have. Look at that. Not many, though. Why don't most of us say thank you when someone pays us? Because you've worked for it. You've earned it. It's yours. That's what Paul's saying here, isn't it? It's an obligation. Your employer is obliged to pay you. Now, what Paul's saying here is that we don't work to earn God saying to us, you're okay. Instead, we just have to trust him. So he goes on, verse 5, however, to the one who does not work but trusts God, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. Now, we've got two people here. 500 years ago, the church said, you need to trust God and you need to work. Now, James has got some things written down. James, I just want you to hold them up like that. Just hold, you can stay kneeling, stay kneeling. Just hold them up and offer them to me. No, no, just both bits of paper, just like that. That's it, just hold them, just hold them. There we go. People 500 years ago, someone like Martin Luther, John Calvin, some of these reformers started to look in the Bible and say, actually, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't say trust God and prove that you're good enough. The Bible just says trust God. So Luke, just hold your hands up with nothing in them. And that was the difference. Now, James, if I was to read this out, how would you feel?
Not good.
And if you're depending on God saying you're okay, depending on what you'd written down, how confident would you be that God was going to say, you're okay? Not confident. How about all of you when you were talking with one another just now? I bet none of you really shared some of the bad stuff you'd done this past week. You probably were quite quick to talk about the good stuff. But if it was based on what you'd done, how confident would you be that God was going to say, you're okay? Had you been good enough? Had you done enough? Well, the reformers 500 years ago saw that actually what God was saying was, just trust me. I can make you good enough. I've done something for you to make it possible that I can say you're okay. And all you have to do is trust me. To trust God is to come with empty hands, to say there's nothing I can prove or give you or show you. I come with nothing. But I'm trusting that you can do it. You can make me right, righteous. Now, thank you, but I'm not going to read that out. You can take them. You can keep them. Destroy them. Thank you both. Now, we're going to read on. Look at what he says next, because Paul doesn't just talk about Abraham. He picks another Old Testament great. David. Verse 6, David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the one to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. How blessed is the person, in other words, whom God says, you're okay. Not relying on what you've done, but relying on what God's done. You're okay. How blessed is that person? Look at what he says. Verse 7, blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. That's true, isn't it? God will never say, yeah, but what about? Yeah, but I've got proof of the day you did something wrong. I was watching when you. But the Bible says, no, God's not going to do that. If you trust him, if you trust that he's done everything for you, he's done it all. He's not going to bring those things up. He's going to forgive you. He's going to welcome you into heaven. Not based on the things you've done, but based on what he's done. You'd be blessed, wouldn't you? Well, that's what the reformers were rediscovering 500 years ago, that for us to be right with God, it wasn't due to us working well enough, doing enough, being good enough. It was trusting in what God had done. Trusting in him alone. And they're known for these five truths, that we needed scripture alone. That's why 500 years ago, suddenly the Bible wasn't just in Latin. People were trying to translate it and turn it into languages that people could understand, like English. We needed to read the scriptures and have our authority from the scriptures. What did the Bible say? Did the Bible tell us we needed to be good enough for God? No, when we read it. We see it's never told us that. We need to trust God. Trust in his grace alone, his gift. A gift isn't something you earn, it's something you're given and just receive, like Luke did. Just to receive. There's nothing that I can give you. It's a gift I receive. Grace alone. But I trust you. It's faith alone. To trust in what God has done. And I'm trusting particularly in Christ alone, in his work, in going to the cross, in dying for me, in paying my punishment. And all of this was ultimately for the glory of God, for his glory, that he would do this for me, for you. And 500 years ago, these were the things they were rediscovering as they read through the Bible and saw, this is what we need to know. This is what churches ought to teach. And you know the difference it made, particularly to the key people at the time? The difference it made was assurance. To know if that question came up before God and you ask God, am I okay? People before that were gripped with fear. Would God say, I'm okay? And the danger for us is if we don't understand this is we can be fearful as well. Who saw the funny sun the other day? You see the sun go kind of orange? What day was that? Monday. 3 o'clock in the afternoon? Really eerily dark. Did you see that? How many of you thought, it's the end of the world? Is this it? Some of you did. And we sometimes do that, don't we? Maybe it's just a really loud thunderstorm or something weird in the sky, and we think, is this the end of the world? If it was, would I be okay with God? Would God say, I'm okay? Or to put it another way, if Jesus has promised he's going to come back, if Jesus came back in 3 minutes' time, would I be okay? Now, if we worry about that, if we're not sure, sometimes that's shown in communion when we share bread and wine and we think, should I have the bread and wine this week because of what I've done? Because of what I'm like? Am I okay? If it's based on me, then I've got no assurance, have I? I'd be worried. And if I'd be like James, trying to write down more stuff. Have I done enough? And the reformer said, no. If you realize this is what the Bible's saying, there's a sense in which you can relax. You can be at peace. You can have that assurance from God saying, you're okay. You're okay. Because of Jesus, if you trust him, you're okay. They're great truths, aren't they? What a difference that makes for us to know that. Now, we're going through these five things on Sunday nights. Can I encourage you to come on Sunday nights? I told you to come 2 weeks ago, and some of you came. I felt very powerful that week. Wow, they listen to me. They do as I say. Some of them. Some of you didn't come. But can I encourage you, come on Sunday nights, going through these truths. These are key truths for us. Tonight, grace. We're going to look at grace tonight. Oh, what a wonderful topic. Someone wrote a hymn, Amazing Grace. Do you know it? Grace is amazing. We overuse the word amazing. Come tonight and hear why grace is amazing. Come the following weeks, faith, Christ, glory of God. These key truths that tell us there's a way we can be sure that we're okay with God. We're going to pray and then we're going to sing a song together to close our service. Let's pray. Let's pray. Our Father God, we acknowledge this morning that if it was left to us to say if we're okay, if you were to look at us and judge if we're okay before you, are we good enough? Have we done enough? Have we obeyed you? Have we loved you? Have we loved people? All of us would have to acknowledge we're not okay. We do things wrong. We mess things up. We let you down. We let each other down. And so, Father, we thank you for the amazing truths of the gospel. We thank you for the Lord Jesus who came to die in our place. We thank you for your work to save us, to make a way possible that we could be okay with you. Father, help us to believe it. Help us to trust you. Help us to have that assurance. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.